All right, you got your Bibles, the sword of the Spirit, the bread of life, the manna of heaven. Hallelujah. Turn with me into Psalms 23. Brother Lonnie preached on this not very long ago.
What was it?
Psalms 23, 23rd chapter of Psalm. How many's ever heard of it? I have, and I should, and you should, because you're sheep of his pasture.
Right.
How many's glad for the good shepherd?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. I need a reader. I want somebody to read that whole 23rd chapter of Psalms.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul, and he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
All right. Now we're going to go right down the line, and I'll feed you what the Lord has given me before we start in this lesson. Psalm 23, the psalmist David penned this, and how many knows that God inspired him to write it? Yes, he did. The Holy Ghost gave him this psalm to show the relationship between Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and each of his sheep, his people. David mentions the shepherd 13 times in 6 verses. 13 times. Oh, my. Listen, 16 times he tells what the shepherd really means to him in his tender care. I want to say this to every one of us, me included. Until you acknowledge that Jesus is your all in all, that he's your everything, that he's your very life and your help and your hope, you will never experience the goodness of the Lord like David did in this song. Oh, God. Sometimes we get in places and find ourselves in situations where we must learn to trust the Lord. Sometimes we get in those hard places and situations. There ain't no other way out of it but to really trust God and say, God, I'm leaning on you. Help me. Lead me, guide me, and show me. If you don't stay near the shepherd in this hour, and follow him and trust him, you will gradually fall back. You'll easily go astray. And I'll say this, if you do, please don't, but if you do, it'll be a cold, dark, lonely place and a path when you're away from him. Thank you, Lord. I want to stay near him, don't you? I just feel him today. I want to walk with him. I want to hear his voice. Jesus said that he's the good shepherd. He said, my sheep know my voice. How many's ever heard it?
Amen.
Have you heard it?
Yes.
Nobody can speak to you like the Lord can. He can whisper. And if you got a prayer life and you really love him and you're reading his word and everything, he can whisper to you. You'll hear him. He's got a gentle voice. Thank God. All right, we're going to read all of this psalm and then we already did that, but I want to take one verse at a time. Look at the first verse. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's my shepherd. Look at the word want. In the Hebrew, this word means to lack. And what David is saying here, because I have made the Lord my shepherd, and I know I'm one of his sheep, I know that I shall not be deprived, and I won't fail for lack of want. God's not going to let me starve. He's going to supply my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. How many knows if we love and we serve the Lord and put Him first in our life, He'll never let us do without and let us fail? Hallelujah. I wish the world knew that. I wish every sinner, all those that showed up there yesterday, and you could look into their eyes, couldn't you, Brother Ron? You could just see the hurt. You could see the drifting, how far away they was, you know, from God and goodness. Oh, Lord, would you like, Angie, for just to walk up to somebody, let me introduce you to this friend of mine. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, can I tell you about Jesus? There's none like Him in the whole wide world.
Right.
Holy God. Sheep are totally dependent upon their shepherd for food, for water, and protection. They have to be led. And to be led, they must learn to follow. To follow. You know, the Lord will lead you if you let Him. He'll tell you what paths to go. What direction to go.
Right.
How many notice He'll correct us sometimes and you said, you're just starting to go the wrong way here.
Yep.
Come back. Come back. Draw close to Me. You have to follow Him. The shepherd knows where the best grass is for grazing. How many knows our shepherd knows what is best? We all can say, I cannot make it without my Lord. I'm so glad to say that He is my shepherd.
Yeah.
He maketh me, listen to this verse here and we'll dig it out. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now what is David is saying here? David was a shepherd by trade until God called him to be the king. Shepherds will tell you, and I dug all of this out, Philip Keller's book that he wrote. He was a shepherd and he had sheep for many, many years. He will tell you that sheep will never lie down to rest. They'll never lie down to rest when they're hungry. When sheep don't have enough to eat, they are restless. And they're always on the move, searching and longing for something to satisfy. Did not the Bible say in Isaiah, the wicked or like the troubled sea, whose waters cannot rest, but casting up the dirt and the mire. How many's ever been around the ocean? It's never still. It's never calm like a lake. The waters come in, the sand builds, and it goes right back out. But how many's glad for Jesus today?
Yes.
There is peace in Him.
Yes.
Oh, I feel Him. People is on the move. Sometimes on the road, Brother Ronnie, I'll be out there driving and going somewhere and everything. Especially on vacation, I've made statements to Mary in busy places. Like it's got four lanes of highway. Four here and four on this side. Right here, we was on vacation. Went all the way down into Florida and back. I think it's more lanes than that, about 4 to 6 lanes. And I looked at the cars and the trucks and everything on the road, and they was as far as you could see in front of me. And on the lanes over here, they were coming this way. I said, babe, I said, people are busy. They're always going to and fro. I look into the windshield of their cars sometimes. I don't know about you all. I try to keep a spiritual mind, Brother J.D. And I say to myself, I wonder how many is on this road that knows the Lord. How many knows Him? How many's talked to Him today? How many has had a good prayer? How many's picked up their Bible in the last week or month or days? How many's a seeking God in our hour? How many really wants Him?
No.
At least I cannot live, and I know that. I can't live, and I can't make it without Him. I need Him for the very next breath that I breathe. People don't realize it, Brother Bill, but they're going, they're going, they're going. And every day, another day closer to eternity. Sister Sheila, another day, they're closer to the judgment bar of God.
Right.
I'd rather know Jesus down here. I'd rather have him down here. Holy Lord, when I stand before him, I won't be a stranger to Jesus Christ. And I say, Lord, I loved you and I tried. Oh, raise your left hand, praise you. Oh, God, I tried to serve you, Lord, and love you. That's one thing I don't want to do is ever forget the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Souls on the move. Souls are going. Souls are traveling. Until Mary said, times are busy going nowhere. That's just pretty much it. Busy going nowhere. But to the judgment. Look at this next verse. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What are you saying to us, David? My Lord knows when I'm thirsty, and he knows when I'm dry. He leads me to where the cool, refreshing streams are that quenches my thirst. Does anyone know what the still waters represents here that David penned? What is it, still waters? It means peace. A peaceful place of solace where the shepherd leads to soothe and comfort while he watches over his flock. Peaceful waters. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How many's ever heard times in, or had times in your life, Lord, I just need to be restored?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes you feel like spiritually, I'm just old. I'm not talking about physical. You can see them. Some of us got white hair and gray hair, but sometimes you feel like you're just wore out. And it goes deeper than the physical. I mean, there's times we just get weary.
Amen.
We get tired.
Amen.
Yes.
Sissy, with the hustle and bustle of life and our bodies that we walk in, we have, we live in, we all get tired.
Right.
We get weary. Mm-hmm. You ever had time to say, Lord, I need a refreshing?
Oh, yeah.
I need you to restore me.
Yes.
Restore the joy. Restore the strength. Renew my desire. Pull on me, Lord. Holy God. Sometimes we just drift away. We drift away and we look back and we say, Lord, I was closer then than I am now. I was happier then than I am now. I felt you more, Lord, then than I do now. We get tired. We get weary with life. And it's times like that I go down on my knees and I say, God, when I need your touch, I don't want to lose the vision. Raise your little hand to him. I don't want to lose the vision of my shepherd. Holy God, I don't want to lose that touch. Oh, God, I don't want to lose his presence. I need him. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of thy salvation. Renew me of my spirit, dear Lord. Put it back inside of me, good shepherd. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Lord, a lot of people will say, I'm going through a dry place. Through my trials and the hard places, it just sometimes it's so easy to get our eyes off of the Lord.
Yes.
Oh God, dear Jesus, I want that peace. I want that blessed assurance and that contentment in my soul. Draw me back close to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. I need a reader. I want somebody to read to me that fourth verse. And you looking right at your Bible, ain't you?
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Precious Lord. What kind of a nugget can we get out of this? Oh, God. We need to get in a place that it feels so good.
Right.
That the Word of God comes alive to us.
Right.
Holy, 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 holy. You know what I'd like to do? And I've asked the Lord many times, I said, Jesus, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when I opened the lids of my Bible, I said, would you step out of the pages? Step out of the pages, dear Lord, and reveal yourself to me. Let me walk with you.
Yes.
Let me hear you. Give him a wave over to the house. I want to hear him. I want to follow him. Well, glory to God. I could easily preach this. Oh, God. Yea, though I walk through, I'm not staying there. Devil, I'm not staying in this valley. Amen. I'm walking through it. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they cover me. I titled this lesson, Sister Maria, From the Mountain to the Valley. And there's a reason we're going to go somewhere here in a minute. From the Mountain to the Valley, the lessons that we learn while we're in the valley. How many wants to learn it?
Yeah, with the rooftop story is.
There's a reason that I labeled it this way. It will not always be heavenly mountaintops of euphoria in your life.
Nope.
How many has ever heard the saying, man, oh man, I've been on cloud nine.
Right.
There will be many valleys that we all will have to go through.
Right.
So here's my question. Can anyone that's been serving the Lord for very long, can you tell me what it spiritually means to be on the mountain and being in the valley? If I stand up in church service and testify and say, oh, praise God, glory, hallelujah, I praise the Lord, I've been on the mountain all day. Can anyone describe what I mean spiritually? So what is your definition of being on the mountain? Now, I'm not talking about a literal tall mountain of trees, grass, and rocks. What does it mean to you? I would have loved to have been with Jesus or with the disciples when Jesus led led Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Come here, boys. I'm telling you, you've got 12 disciples you read about in the Bible. But you had three special ones that really wanted close to the Lord's heart. And that was Peter, James, and John.
Right.
Out of every church all across the land, you've got an inner circle of disciples. It's those that says, man, I want more. Holy God, it ain't just enough to come to the house of God, hear preaching, listen now, and hear good singing, and go back home and say, well, we had church. No. When I come, I want to get something.
Amen.
I want to feel something. Shoot. I want to get in and partake in it. Hallelujah to God. And Jesus looks at Peter, James, and John and says, come here, boys. We're going to go to the top of the mountain. Can you imagine when he gets up to the top, they record it. Matthew and Luke, I think it was, records that as Jesus prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed. His face shined like the sun, and his garments was glistering and white. Oh, Lord have mercy. They heard the voice of the Lord, of God the Father, saying, this is my beloved Son. What would you feel like if you heard God speaking like that? Peter spoke up and said, went through his all over with. So Jesus said, it's been so good to be here. Let us build three tabernacles. what Jesus was saying. Boys, I have revealed to you my glory. There is a heavenly glory that will come down when you pray and you seek God. But the work is in the valley. We've got to go back to the valley and work. How many could say, I thank God for those mountaintops of revelation and glory when we see it, when we feel it. Oh, God. Bring the mountain down with you. Oh, God. The mountaintop. Sister Ruthie, when you're up on the mountain, it means that you're elevated inside and you feel so good in your soul. You're lifted up high in spirit. It means that you have been in the presence of the Lord, feeling His joy and the sweet Holy Ghost. You're excited about what you feel, and you want to share it and you tell others. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Children, if you'll take time to seek Him, the scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. If we can ever get our minds quiet and all the turmoil and all the racket, just clear our mind and be still before Him and love Him, you will feel something way down on the inside. It won't be so hard to praise Him. It won't be hard to raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. It's on the mountain your spiritual vision is clearer. Brother Ron sings that song, My Highest Heights. Whew, Brother Ron, I steal away. My highest heights is when I steal away and pray. My spirit is lifted upon the mountain top. You're standing up there. I've been on Clingman's Dome, 6,647 foot up. Stand there on top of the Smoky Mountains, looking out over those valleys, and all the other hills are lower, and you're higher than all of the hills. There ain't nothing in the world like it. You can look for miles, way through there, and see the ridge line of the mountains. The vision is clearer. I mean, no, spiritually, when we get high in the Lord, when we pray, we're lifted up in His presence. Spiritually speaking, we can see things that we never could see when we're in the low place.
Oh, God.
Shoot. Holy Lord, Holy Lord, Holy Lord. Your vision is clearer. You can see and understand things of God better. You feel closer to heaven. Your understanding of life when you're elevated and you're up in God's presence. Your understanding of life is better when you're at the top. And you can look all around you and you can see where you securely stand. You clearly can see for miles all around you, and you look way down into the dark valleys below and say, I know what it's like to be down there. But thank God I'm up here today. How many is glad in thy house? Thank God we don't have to stay down. Woo! I'm about to take off running. I told Mary today, I said, I'm about ready to run through this house. Oh, they ain't not feeling it. It ain't like it, Brother Jim. I tell you, this thing's real. There's life in it. I said, there's life in Jesus the Shepherd. Thank God forever. Woo, I can see. Spiritually speaking, I can see, I can understand things. The revelations of God are when you're high and lifted up in the Spirit.
Yes.
Holy God. Means that you've overcome. You made it to the top. And you, for that moment, you've got victory over the flesh, over the world, and over the devil. You didn't do it on your own. The Holy Ghost helped you to get up there. The Lord helped you climb and ascend a mountain. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. There's a holy place. I feel him all over me. There's a holy place.
Yes.
There's a hope. Raise your hand. Raise your hand right now. Holy God. Holy, 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 holy. There's a holy place. There's a holy place. Bring me to it, God. Bring me to that holy place. Bring me into your power. Bring me into your glory. Let me see it, God, and know it for myself and no other. I tell you, when you get a revelation of it, when you taste it, and when it comes on the inside, nobody will ever change your mind about it. I was born in the fire and the smoke. Ain't it going to do?
No, it ain't.
A lot of people smoldering. Fire used to burn. It's just like a coal that you take out of the fireplace in the wintertime. It's a glowing red hot. It'll burn you up if you try to reach in there and get that little fella. If you take a set of tongs and get that little hot coal out of there, away from the others. Away from the others that are on fire.
Come on.
Get that little coal and separate it away from the others that's got a vision.
Come on.
That's got a desire. That loves to sing. The others that's got a praise. The others that's got a prayer life. You get that little coal that's burning with them. And for some reason you get it and pull it out on the hearth and lay it down by itself. It ain't going to last long. Come on, we need one another. Wave your hand to God. We need our church right here in Ashland. We need God. We need the Holy Ghost. We need the fire of God. Keep me in the fire, Lord. Hey, God, it'd be hard for the devil to get a hold of you and lay hands on you when you're on fire. I don't want to smolder.
Come on.
I don't want to turn into smoke. I've got to stay in the fire.
Right.
Praise God. Look at it in the natural standpoint. When you're up on the mountain, the top of the mountain, it means the sun shines there. Duh. It's always shining. Unless God sends clouds for it to get good rain. You can look in all directions. Up on the mountain, when you're in God's glory, there's nothing to get in your way and hinder you and obstruct your view. I'm with Jesus up here. If all of this represents the mountaintop experience, I want to ask us new, what does being in the valley mean? You probably could put a two... write three pages on what a valley is. Can anyone tell me? This is where I really, really, really want to focus and teach. Being in the valley represents suffering a period of hardship, trial, and emotional difficulty. How many has ever been there? It's going through hard times. It's where your faith is put to the test.
Yeah.
Being in the valley is where there are many shadows and you can't see very far in front of you. Your sight is limited in that low place. In the valley is where unseen terrors lurk, worries, fears. It's when you're going through the valley that you have the feeling of being by yourself. Lord, I'm all alone. Surely, I can say today, the valley is the birthplace of doubt. God gives me all this. It's where doubt is birthed, right in the valley. It's where your enemies stick up their head and you hear their voices echoing loud and clear. It's in the shadows of the valley where unbelief shows up, whispering to you, showing you all the bad and all of the negative. It's where you will wrestle with your mind, your thoughts. Does God know where I am? I felt that go all over me.
He knows.
How many's ever had those times? God, where are you at?
Amen. Oh, God. You wonder where the Lord is. Does he see me? Does God care?
Does God understand it's in the valley, in the low places? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, God. Lord, I feel like I'm all alone. Do you care? Yes, he cares. Will I ever come out, Jesus, and see the sunshine on the mountain again? Will I ever come through this valley? Remember, the psalmist says that you're not going into the valley to stay there. You're only passing through when your testing is over. You're going to come out on the other side with victory. Can you raise your hand in the house and say, Brother Tommy, I'm a coming out. I'm a coming through. Hey, church, I'm on my way. I'm not staying down. I'm going through the valley. Hey, Lord, ain't he good? Give me my hand clap in the house. I'm a coming through. Don't give up on me. Because Jesus, he's a friend that sticks closer to me than a brother. He's leading me and I am a following. Woo! Hallelujah, am I coming through it, Brother Ron? Thank God. Oh God, I'm going to close with this. Don't ever let your valley experience get you down and cause you to throw up your hands and quit. It ain't no time to quit.
You're just growing.
You're growing. You're climbing.
In a good topsoil.
You're learning. Amen. My Lord. Oh God. Thank you, Lord. I'm not quitting. I'm not doubting my God. I'm going to keep right on a praying. I'm going to keep right on a going. I'm going to keep right on a trusting. Remember what David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh God. Do you know what the rod and the staff represents here? Can anybody tell me? Anybody got an idea?
What's that?
The word of God. Listen close. They comfort me.
The word comforts me.
The rod is God's holy word, and the staff is his spirit. Yeah, God. The sweet Holy Ghost. How many's got the rod with you today and got your staff with you? You've got the Word of God, you've got your Bible, and you've got the sweet Spirit of the Lord. Can you say, I've got God's Word? I have got His Spirit. I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm a-coming through this valley. So why would God from time to time choose to lead us down into the valley? It's in the valley. Listen to me. I'm closing. It's in the valley where your character is built. Yep. Make me a better Christian, God. It's where you're molded and you're made better in the low places, in the valley. It's in the low valley. It's there that God builds, Sister Ruthie. He builds your faith. He builds your trust. It's in the valley. Oh, God. In the low valley, in the dark shadows, is where the Lord reveals himself to you in a greater measure, in a greater way, proving his power and his love to you when you're at the lowest. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, God. One more. Oh, God. Don't ever, ever hate the valley experience. Don't hate it. God. And don't ever think that you should never, ever go there. Because it is here that you really learn to pray, where your faith is increased. It's in that low place going through the valley that you are made strong because you're leaning upon Jesus.
Yes.
Take a strong Christian nowadays that you look up to. What would they tell you about the valley experiences? They would honestly say to you, I'm glad now that I went through them because it has brought me, it has drew me closer to my shepherd. It is because I have learned to pray and depend upon him.
Thank God. Thank God.